It's time for JT the Brick on Fox Sports Vegas.
So here we go with the Vegas Golden Knights.
Hey, since Christmas, it's a whole different team.
We're just playing strong defensive hockey.
This team is playing at a very high level.
Knights win their sixth in a row.
They prove that they're a playoff team.
Feeds Tuck in front. He shoots. He scores. Alex Tuck wins it.
I'd be pretty happy as a Vegas Golden Knight fan.
I'm all in, brother.
And for Gallant, I think he's pretty happy.
Yeah, real happy.
Way to go, Golden Knights. I mean, what a run. What a run they've been on.
Carlson scores from the left wing.
The radio show's priority is the flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights.
I'm all in, brother.
And now, here's JT the Brick. Oh, ah!
Yeah, I love that Golden Knights open on a game night. JT with you on the flagship of your Vegas Golden Knights, brought to you by PT's, the home of the best happy hour in town. 5 to 7, midnight to 2 a.m., Sierra Gold, Sean Patrick's, PT's Ranch, all the PT's Golds. Oh, the SG Bar, where I had lunch today with our good friend Tom Hum, who was the brother, is the brother of the late, great David Hum, former quarterback of the Raiders. SG Bar, great place for your lunch meetings. Good opportunity to bring some friends out there to watch sports. That's right at the 215 and Flamingo. Fun show tonight, big show. We only have an hour, and I got a lot to get to, so I'll get flying here again, courtesy of PT's. There's a game tonight. We'll get to all of that. Gary Lawless will join us at the bottom of the hour from the Golden Knights broadcast team. He is inside the fortress at T-Mobile, and we'll preview the upcoming opponent, the New York Rangers. Wow. Rangers are in town. Big blue. Original six team. And you would think they would travel well. And on top of it, CES is in town. So you do have fans that are in for CES from New York that will buy your tickets if you sell them to them. Remember, I want to bring that up again. Because a lot of times fans buy tickets because they put them up on websites, which they shouldn't. They should give them away to other Vegas Golden Knight fans. But here come the big spenders. The New Yorkers are in town. I'm a New Yorker. Islander fan, not Ranger fan. But they will be buying tonight as they look to have their steak dinners and go to the hockey game and support Big Blue. I'm very interested in the crowd count tonight. Because it's no longer a gimmick. Last year was a gimmick. You wanted to have the ticket stub for the first ever Rangers game in Vegas, right? You want to frame it. I was there. Now the gimmick's worn off. Rangers are a type of team, up and down team. But this is another important opportunity for the Vegas Golden Knights to beat a team that they are clearly better than. Keep the six-game winning streak going. Stay hot. Do it all. Brandon Peary, who we had on this show, called back up again. There's a lot of good storylines in this game. Subban coming off his win. Fleury back in net. I'm excited about this. Gary Lawless at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to lead with college football. Joe Lisi will join us, the great insider who is a great prognosticator and was pretty close to this in regards to Clemson. We'll talk about the game last night and put a bow on the end of college football. One of the things that I want to change on the radio in this market, there's a lot of topics that die after a season ends historically in Vegas, and then they go dormant, and then they don't come back until the start of the season. We're changing the face of radio on this station. We're going to be talking about the Raiders year-round, and I could tie that into the NFL draft. College football, we talk about it year-round because UNLV is a year and a half away from moving into the Raiders Stadium. And it's kind of put up or shut up time for UNLV football, I think we'd all agree. So we'll have things to talk about, even though college football now will take a break after that tremendous performance by Clemson last night. Clemson was so dominant, you have to consider them one of the greatest teams of all time last night for any particular game. So let me repeat again. If you look at individual teams, not programs, we're not going to compare Clemson to Alabama, the history of the programs, but if you look at that Clemson team last night with the NFL players that they have, their best NFL player suspended for performance-enhancing drugs, their best player didn't play the last two games on defense and they dominated, and the future quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, who has to play two more years in college, which isn't fair, he would be the number one draft pick in this draft if he was able to come out. So you have to look at this team and say, the 2018/19 Clemson team, where do you rank it all time? And they would be on the short list, maybe top 10, maybe top 5. Because they're going to have NFL players, probably 6, 7, or 8 on defense. They're going to have a quarterback who's going to be so iconic if we can look towards the future in the NFL. And then they're going to have wide receivers and other players who play. So when you looked at that game last night, I watched it as an NFL game. I didn't watch it as a college game. I looked at it to get an idea. Mike Mayock, the new GM of the Raiders, was on the field for that game. There was so much NFL talent that you have to look at it and say, how does that affect the Raiders? How does that affect the other teams in the draft? And Tua played a little bit sloppy in this game, but he's great. Tua, the quarterback for Alabama, is not good. He's great. I would take him number one this year if he came out. Then you got to wait till next year. I would take him number one because he looks to be a better quarterback than Josh Rosen of Arizona or Josh Allen of Buffalo. I'll take Tua all day long. So you had a great matchup last night. I thought the early pick six for Clemson set the tone for Dabo and his squad.
Again, Tagovailoa going to throw, throws, and it's picked! Picked at the 45-yard line. It's going to be returned for six.
Boom!
Tagovailoa gets picked, and it's returned by A.J. Terrell for six. Oh, what a play for the Clemson defense.
Clemson radio on all these calls. So that really set the tone because Tua was rattled early. I mean, that was an awful interception. Basically threw it. Threw it right to Terrell, right in his breadbasket, easy pick six. And then it was a matter of time until Lawrence developed. He was a little shaky on his first five or six passes. Then he found a rhythm.
Lawrence going to do a little shuttle pass inside the ETN, and he's in. Touchdown. ETN's second reception for a touchdown this season. His third touchdown in this game. And Clemson extends the lead.
And then the route was on. The route was unbelievably on. And I thought it was pretty cool, and I'd like to know if you agree with this, at 876-1340. The hook to the monologue in this game is, did you like Nick Saban getting pummeled? I repeat, you're a college football fan. You have an opinion. We're a talk show. Did you like watching Nick Saban get pummeled? Did that add to your viewing entertainment? 876-1340. A lot of people just watch the game. They want to be entertained. That game, there was a point in the third quarter that I looked at my wife and said, what's on TV tonight? We're kind of into Netflix and finding cool stuff to watch, a lot of movies, award seasons. Like, can we get out of this thing pretty soon? And my wife talked me off the ledge. She's like, what'd you say? Watch the game. She kind of sit back and watch the game. And it just looked really good until Nick Saban panicked on a fake field goal where he just threw in the towel on his kicking game.
Snap, hold, and they're going to fake it. Jones going to run it. Right side, he gets hit and dropped by Niles Pitney. They try to run the fake, and Pitney smelled it out and just stuffed it at the 22-yard line.
Are you kidding me? I mean, they basically, wait a second. Alabama doesn't have a kicker? Bishop Gorman's got a kicker. Liberty's got a kicker. How do you not have a kicker at Alabama? How do you not have a soccer player from Europe? Janikowski from Poland at Florida State. How do you not have a soccer-style kicker from Spain who gets a free ride at Alabama to kick 45-yard field goals blindfolded? I don't get this. The Bears are out of the playoffs because their kicker couldn't make a kick. And Alabama, basically, early on in that game said, we have no kicker, no confidence. We're going to have to play with our kicker's leg tied behind his back because we can't compete. Really? How do you run a business? You heard the term dot I's, cross T's. You want to be efficient in your business. How do you have an NFL program based in Tuscaloosa and not have a kicker? That message goes out to UNLV, to Boise State, whatever. You can't find a kicker? Now, look, kickers are going to miss kicks. We get that. But you need to have at least someone. You have to have competition. You got to have like three guys on the soccer team try out to be the kicker. One's really good. Two are average. And then you have one of the other guys compete, and you say, okay, if our kicker gets hurt, we'll call you up again. Alabama doesn't have a kicker. And Nick Saban, on that play, lost the national championship. It was still a manageable score where they could have put up three and kicked it and been in the game. And after that play, his team was completely deflated. And then Lawrence just put it on Alabama and wanted to embarrass them.
Lawrence, back to throw. Looks across the middle. Throws it back in the end zone. Pop! Higgins! Touchdown!
Wow, what a throw.
What a catch.
It was
also
the only place he could have thrown it.
So there's a couple other topics I want to get into on that game last night. Lawrence is blank. You've seen quarterbacks your whole life, depending on your age. Joe Montana at Notre Dame. Steve Young at BYU. Jared Goff at Cal. Where do you put Trevor Lawrence when you give the eyeball test. You watched him on TV last night. He's bigger, stronger. I thought the best comparison was Michael Phelps. You know, swimming, Michael Phelps just looked different than everybody. His torso, his size. This kid reminds me of Michael Phelps in the NFL. He's just going to be an automatic star in the league. I got a chance to watch him because he competed against DTR from Gorman, who's now at UCLA, the quarterback, on the Elite 11 with Trent Dilfer. So this kid was on my radar years ago. One of my friends who was in my wedding lives in Georgia, not too far from this kid. So I heard about this kid when he was a sophomore in high school and how Clemson and Georgia and everybody wanted to have him. He's maybe the best quarterback that I've seen in college since Andrew Luck. So I'll go out on a limb with that. Who do you compare him to any quarterback that you've seen in the past? Show started 11 minutes ago, 876-1340. I think Trevor Lawrence, if I'm the Raiders, I don't know when he's available. He's got to play two more years. He just finished up. Got to play next year and the year after that. It brings us up to the other topic. Why can't he leave? Why does he have to jeopardize his physical career playing college football when he's ready to get paid to go to the pros? And if he was able to come out this year, he'd go number one, no doubt. No doubt he'd go number one. And you'd say, well, Arizona has a quarterback? No. Arizona would dump their quarterback to get Trevor Lawrence. He's that great of a player. It was incredible. For Dabo Swinney last night, he was pretty thrilled. This is their second national championship in a few years and a dominant team.
Man, I mean, you know, very few people. There's so many great coaches that are so deserving of a moment like this that never get the chance to experience it. And to get to do it once and now to get to do it again, you know, it's a blessing, and it's just simply the grace of the good Lord to allow us to experience something like this, and I'm so happy for our team, our fans, our administration.
Yeah, it was a pretty good post game. He was pretty happy after that. And I think Sweeney, because he was on the staff with Nick Saban, he's in the coaching tree underneath Nick Saban to beat one of his teams, I just think is the cherry on top.
This is the most amazing champion ever. The University of Alabama and what they've done and Coach Saban. And for our guys to come out here tonight and perform like they did, you know, it's just our staff. We had an amazing plan. We had a great week. And I felt like we had the better team. And I felt like that if we could get a couple of breaks, we could pull away.
For Trevor Lawrence, what a journey, and it's just starting out as a pure freshman quarterback who got a chance to start after the fourth game. He took advantage of it.
It's amazing, you know, and you see it out here. I mean, I know, but I get a lot of credit for stuff that, you know, I'm only, like, not even half of it. So my teammates, these coaches, did an unbelievable job, and I just love everyone that's been a part of this journey. And, man, it's been an awesome journey, and you know, it's really unbelievable.
All right, so that's a memorable win. 44-16. What? 44-16. Raise your hand and beep your horn if you had Clemson in the over. If you did have Clemson in the over, you didn't think the game would be a blowout. You thought it'd probably be a pretty tight game, and maybe they'd sneak something out late. Congratulations to those who bet on Clemson, saw this coming. I liked Alabama in the over, but I thought it was going to be a really tight game. I thought Tua would make another late play, and Alabama is a really good team, a great program, but they ran into a buzzsaw with Trevor Lawrence. Joe Lisi will join us in a few minutes to dissect that game and talk about the future heading into the sport next season. One other, I think, strong topic branch to what we're talking about is last night is the perfect night to have the debate again. Do you pay college athletes to play football? It was a TV game. It was a TV show. Okay? And those kids were on television last night delivering a big rating, a big audience, and they performed and entertained you and didn't get paid any money. I believe that they should only get paid a small amount of money. Every kid should get paid the exact same amount. So if you're the backup tight end for Toledo and you don't get in the game, you get paid the same amount of money as Trevor Lawrence at Clemson because you can't have it any other way. You're insane. You've lost your mind if you believe that college kids need to be paid on some type of bridge scale where the guy who rushed for two touchdowns makes more than the offensive lineman. No, I dip the show in reality. Everybody gets paid the same. Oh, and I hate to bother you, but you got to pay the girls the same amount too. You got to pay the women volleyball player the same amount, Title IX, or you know why? they'll be in front of the Supreme Court and they'll win. How would you like that? You sit in front of the Supreme Court and go, oh, you're not going to play the women's swimmer the same amount as Trevor Lawrence? Oh, we got a lawsuit, and we got another lawsuit, and we got another lawsuit. What are you going to really do? You're going to go stand in front of the Supreme Court and say that male football players deserve to get paid more money than female lacrosse players? Good luck. Good luck doing that. And the only way you could spin that topic is, well, girls lacrosse aren't on television. Good point. Not. No one's watching that on ESPN on a Monday night. But the point is, you can't do it realistically because they're amateur athletes getting an education unless you have a plan. I don't claim to have the perfect plan, but I think I've had the best one I've ever heard on radio. And that plan would be to pay everyone $500 to $1,000 a month on top of their free education. Because then you can break up the billion-dollar cartel of the television army, of the TV rights, and the universities who collect all that money and sell the jerseys, sell the T-shirts, sell all that, and don't give any of it to the athletes. But if you give the student athlete any more than $500 to $1,000, they're going to drink it and smoke it. Ooh, that's too, what is that, too radical? No, that's what they're going to do. If you give an 18-year-old kid at LSU $1,000 extra a month, he's going to drink it and smoke it like kids do in college. Now, there'll be a small group of good kids who will send money home to mom. They will. They'll send money home to mom to help pay the bills. And there's good kids there, but I'm broadcasting, not narrowcasting. So after last night, Clemson walloping Alabama 44-16, have you changed your opinion on how to pay student-athletes at the college level? And what is your plan and how much would you give them? Please be specific at 876-1340, or you can hit me up on Twitter at JTTheBrick. So that's where we are. Wanted to start off with that. I got a lot to get to. Gerard Gallant's sound we'll get to in a little bit. And the NFL hirings today. All of the NFC head coaching jobs have been filled. All of the AFC coaching jobs are open. So Cliff Kingsbury going to Arizona. Bruce Arians going to Tampa. Matt LaFleur going to Green Bay. I have opinions on all of that. I think they're very strong. But my point is that we've run out of celebrity coaches. So everybody's reaching. Ooh, I need the next 39-year-old play caller. Well, wait a second. Cliff Kingsbury just got fired at Texas Tech. He got fired after going 35-40. That means he lost five more games than he won. And he's going to turn around the Arizona Cardinals? Why? What? How? Is that a good hire or not? Don't know. Everybody's reaching. And that's why I'm so confident in John Gruden. Because to those who are critical of John Gruden, I'd much rather have a Super Bowl champion, an architect, and a visionary like John Gruden to restructure the silver and black going forward than Matt LaFleur or Cliff Kingsbury. And no disrespect to Bruce Arenas. I think he's a pretty good coach. That'll help. They'll be able to sink or swim with Jameis Winston after this one. Monologue brought to you by Golden Entertainment, your place for tremendous gaming, great food menu, drink specials, and you're home to watch Vegas Golden Knight hockey like tonight. Gary Lawless at the bottom of the hour. What are the Rangers bringing to the fortress? Joe Lisi coming up next with a recap of the state of college football as we continue.
But if you look at the stats of the game, you know, their yards and all that are fairly equal. But score, because of turnovers, not finishing drives in the red zone, not getting off the field on third down, giving up explosive plays, score doesn't indicate anything like that.
It's Nick Saban postgame. JT, back with you, courtesy of the Henderson Hyundai Superstore, Boulder Highway in Henderson. They have the super deals you're looking for. They will slam dunk. Great deals. All you got to do is show up. A Boulder Highway in Henderson. Joe Lisi joins us. Go for the two. As always, what an impact, Joe, that you've had on the show all year long, especially picking games with us and coming on. Thanks for everything as we recap the year. How are you?
My pleasure, JT. Thanks a lot. Love talking college football with you. I mean, this is the most depressing time of the year. A national championship last night. Now we go into the long off season, but a dynamic effort by Trevor Lawrence and, more importantly, head coach Dabo Swinney in dominating Alabama last night.
What happened, in your opinion? Because I thought Tua was under more pressure than typically. You know, he bounced back from the early interception. I thought they ran the ball well. I was just shocked that Alabama's secondary couldn't get stops, especially on third and long when they were trying to get off the field.
Yeah, great point. I mean, you look at that opening drive where they dictated the tempo. They got the pick six. And that's the one thing that Alabama's done better than any other team. They jump up early and are able to dictate the tempo with their rushing attack and their offense and defensive lines, and they were taken out of their game plan. But I said it coming into this matchup, JT, Alabama had the worst rushing defense, 114 rushing yards per game, prior to 2009. So that was a long period of time. I thought they were vulnerable in their secondary. You could beat them over the top. And I broke down the statistic as well. Over the last three national championship games, Alabama has only converted 9 of 42 third downs, which is only in the area of 21%. They went into that game last night, 4 of 13. They were converting 53% as an offense. That's the difference, in my opinion, for last night's dominating win by Clemson.
What was your takeaway when you talked to your peers in the industry about the lack of kicking game for Alabama, and then the first extra point barely got in, then the miss, then the kickoff out of bounds? I mean, did you see this coming? Because clearly on the broadcast they were talking about the 9 missed attempts and all the other problems that they've had. Why is this a problem for Nick Saban?
It's unreal because they get top five talent, probably the best talent across the board, and why don't they have an elite kicking game? That's been the Achilles heel of this team over the last few years. You look at the national championship game against Georgia, they missed a field goal, which sent the game into overtime. I just think that they've dominated the competition so much that it hasn't been really exposed to the degree that we saw last night. But credit, you know, Dabo Swinney and Brett Venables, that defense really closed the noose. They had the speed to run sideline to sideline and force that team into long third down situations, and that was a difference that put pressure on their kicking game as well. I just think you saw an Alabama team that was out of their element. I said it's like Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson type of moment for the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, I saw that, Joe Lisa. That was a great tweet. Go for the two. Trevor Lawrence is just incredible because of the height, and we've debated over the years about the undersized quarterback at the next level. Johnny Manziel, Baker Mayfield, who played well, Drew Brees, a Hall of Famer. The height, the strength that he has, the ability to check down and go through his progressions. He's been on a lot of people's radar since Elite 11 with Trent Dilfer, and he was a super elite prospect, but kind of a shame he's got to play another couple of seasons at the college level. What does he need to do to get better? Because he's just going to get bigger and stronger, but the right coaching's in place for him to thrive, right?
Yeah, he is going to be an elite talent at the next level. Be a student of the game. We've talked about it now at the NFL level that the running mobile quarterback is here to stay, and guys like Tom Brady and the Peyton Manning are a dime a dozen. Well, he fits that type of mold. He is a pure pocket passer. Does have solid mobility, but he really goes through his progressions, and as long as he becomes a student of the game in terms of breaking down coverage, he's going to be a top quarterback within the next 3 years in the next level in the NFL.
Cliff Kingsbury taking that job and the move after USC and the commitment, and then next thing you know, he's the hottest name out there. Why is this a good fit for Arizona, especially with Josh Rosen? Because as I talked about it earlier today, that's got to be the fit. If he doesn't fix Rosen, who's the future franchise quarterback, where do they go?
Great point. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a good fit. You look at his resume at Texas Tech. I mean, he was 433 winning percentage overall since 2014. And more importantly, within the Big 12, he was 15-30 overall, which is a 333 winning percentage. Everybody wants to get the next Sean McVay for the L.A. Rams, so they went in the mold of Cliff Kingsbury. But I wasn't sold on Rosen coming out of college. Never led his team to a bowl win, was an offer on the road in 2017. We'll see how it plays out, but offensive minds now are what NFL teams want, so hope it works out for Arizona.
Finally, put a bow on the season. We see Clemson and Dabo underneath the coaching tree of Nick Saban. Now we know that he has players just as good, if not better, than Alabama. If we go look at Georgia, you're all over Georgia and their recruiting classes and what they've done. It just seems like it's Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, and everybody else. How big's that gap with the next group of Michigan, Ohio State, Notre Dame? Because those teams last night are clearly better than everybody else.
Yeah, they're clearly better on the offense and defensive lines, but I think you saw last night the dominating win gives teams, like you mentioned, LSU, Michigan, Georgia, gives them hope not to fear Alabama as this dominant dynasty, unbeatable like Mike Tyson was. Mike Tyson was never the same after he got knocked out of, by Buster Douglas. I mean, could this be the beginning of the end in terms of mediocrity back for Nick Saban? I mean, it has to end at some point, so we'll see how it plays out. I doubt it, but this could be the start of something where Alabama takes a minor step back, where the other teams close the gap.
At Go for the Two, the great Joe Lisi. Thanks, Joe. We'll be talking to you real soon. I appreciate it.
Anytime, JT. Love the show.
Thank you. Joe's fantastic. You hear him a lot on gaming shows. I hear him nationally on other shows. I'm happy we're able to get him here every couple of weeks. Joe Cordone, he's my guy. Vegas Real Estate, I refer my friends to Joe Cordone because he's got the best rates. He knows how to put a deal together. He will help you achieve all of your home financing needs. 702-271-6261, guaranteedrate.com/Joe Cordone, 271-6261. Check in on your rate, see if you can do better.
We're winning close games. We haven't given up a whole lot of goals in the last number of games here. And like I said, we're chipping in. Not everybody's scoring at the pace they're used to, but they're happy because we're winning hockey games.
Yeah, winning hockey games. That's what it's all about here in Vegas, the Fortress tonight. The Rangers in town. Gary Lawless, kind enough to join us, the Vegas Golden Knights insider. You catch him on the broadcast. Gary, good to talk to you from the Fortress. What should we expect from a Ranger team coming in with three losses in a row?
Well, you would think they'd be hungry, JT, but it's hard to tell what's going on there. They're a team in a little bit of turmoil, I think, right now. There's lots of talk that their GM is going to sell some parts. People are talking about Kevin Hayes. They're talking about Chris Kreider. They're talking about Matt Zuccarello, and which one of those will be on the trading block at the deadline or prior to it. And usually, that sort of uncertainty, it can work one or two ways with a team. It can get a team to pull together and play for one another, or everybody starts to go in their own direction. And I'm not sure. I'm interested to see what the Rangers and what they bring tonight, because they haven't looked good. They've lost their last three in a row, and they've got some pieces, but they don't have the sum of the parts is not what you need right now to win in the NHL.
Yeah, and I've been watching this, and in preparation for you coming on, and I read the New York papers every day, being from there, and when the Giants and the Jets are out of the playoffs and the Yankees and the Mets have no news, a lot of attention goes to the Rangers on the back pages of the tabloids, and they are getting hammered from their fans and the fans who sit in the upper blues, and they're upset about this because of the price of a ticket, the number one media market, and when it goes wrong there, they need to fix it quick because the media and the fans are really leaning on them. So I think this is a really important game for them to try to get their legs underneath them, start fast. What are the concerns for Gerard Gallant and the matchup here tonight?
Well, for me, it's really simple for Vegas. They need to make it hard on New York. New York is struggling to mount any offense. Don't feed into their transition. Don't turn the puck over. I would dump the puck in all night long. Obviously, if there's a 2-on-1, yeah, you skate it in and you take your attempt. But if you get to the blue line and the Rangers have numbers, flip it over top of them, put it below their goal line, and if the Rangers, even if they win the battle, they still got 200 feet to go to get to your net. And pin them back, make them defend, make them play behind their own net as much as you can. Vegas is going to score. Vegas has got some guys that are hot right now. They're going to get their chances. They've had 40 shots you know, it seems to be a regular occurrence for them now. And when they get 40 shots, they win. So, you know, I wouldn't worry about the offense. I would make New York work really hard. I would not put a log in their fire, that's for sure.
Gary Lawless is our guest. I thought I was a kiss of death. I had Brandon Peary on last week. Next game, he gets sent down. He's brought back up again, so no kiss of death from me. Walk us through that transaction and what's going on here in regards to the depth of this roster, letting guys go, bringing them back up again, and how George McPhee is kind of handling all these questions about the long-term play of Peary and some of these players and how they fit in.
Well, it's pretty simple. Most players in the NHL, after they're through their entry-level contract, have to clear waivers in order to go back to the American Hockey League. And McPhee doesn't want to give players away. The only two players, only two forwards he has on this team that do not have to clear waivers are Brandon Peary and Alex Tuch. Alex Tuch is the leading scorer. He's not going to the American Hockey League. He is a bona fide regular top six with this team. So Peary is the other guy. So when Pacioretty got healthy, they went over their roster limit of 23. They had to move a player. Peary could go to the American League without clearing waivers. So McPhee made the decision, I'm going to send him there. Could he have put Oscar Lindberg on waivers? Yes. Mm-hmm. But Lindberg wouldn't have cleared. Someone right. would have claimed him. Same for Ryan Carpenter or any other number of guys in their bottom six. So he sends Peary there, and he goes there for, 24 hours? And then Riley Smith gets hurt. Will Carrier gets sick. He recalls Peary. Now, he's running out of time on Peary.
Yes.
If Peary plays 10 games in the NHL, he then will require waivers after that. This is game 8. Now, he's also got Valentin Zhitkov on the roster, and he hasn't seen him play yet. So I kind of expect what will happen here is Peary will play tonight. Maybe play Thursday. That would get him to 9. And then I think he would be a healthy scratch, depending on the health of Smith and Carey at that time. And then maybe you work in Zhitkov and see what he has to give. Or maybe you send Peary back to the American League one more time mm-hmm. while you can. Listen, while you have time to make a decision, you use that time. Don't paint yourself into a corner. If he had said, I'm going to keep Peary up here and going to waive. I'm going to put Lindberg on waivers. And he had lost him. And then two nights later, he loses two forwards. You'd be saying to yourself, that's a mismanagement of your assets. McPhee did the right thing in that situation. And that's the experience of knowing that just when you think you have too many players, a day later, you don't have enough.
Final issue question here. I grew up an Islander fan, but I saw the Rangers when they won the Cup. And when they won the Cup with Messier and how Messier guaranteed a win and they had to get to the Cup final and the way they won, there weren't many moments in New York, and I've seen a lot of them with the Giants and especially the Yankees, that can compare to what that experience was about. It changed the face of hockey. It got them off the snide. It put Messier on a different stratosphere that I thought he ever could do or get to after the Oilers' success, because he did it in New York. It was incredible. Why have the Rangers struggled so many years since after the momentum they built on that Cup run?
It's an interesting question. You would have to go through every move they made. But you said something interesting early in our conversation. You said when they dip, they need to get back to the top real fast.
Yes.
That doesn't happen anymore, JT, in a salary cap world. They're not the Yankees. They can't spend their way out of trouble. Everybody's got the same resources to deal with. You have to draft and develop. And if you think you can patch holes through free agency, it doesn't work. So you have to... Look at the Chicago Blackhawks, the way they bottomed out. They were terrible. And then all of a sudden, they're able to draft Taves. They're able to draft Kane, Crawford, Keith, Seabrook. They all add up, and then all of a sudden, you've got a mini-dynasty. When have the Rangers really bottomed out? When have they said, okay, we're going to take our medicine. We're going to suck for 3 years. And you said it. You can't do it in New York.
Absolutely.
You can be kind of mediocre or a little bit above, but you're never really going to be great. I don't believe. I don't think you're ever going to contend until you say, "All right, we got to be terrible for a while, and we'll get a Jack Hughes in the draft. we'll get a Jack Eichel or Austin Matthews, whoever you want to say, and then you have an opportunity. They don't have any players like that. They don't have any prospects like that.
Fabulous, fabulous interview on everything going into this game and what the Knights are thinking about going forward with their roster. Have a great broadcast tonight, bud. I'll talk to you soon.
See you, JT.
You got it. How good is Gary Lawless? I mean, again, Bobby, I say this, Bobby runs the show, he runs the broadcast. With what I want to do in this time slot and as we grow it, cannot do it without the Golden Knights. Can't do it because it's evening drive. It's the team in this town, the pro team. We got heavy, heavy Raiders already locked in. And the Golden Knights, from talking to them, let's get the players on, let's get the analysts on, and let's know that their fans can come to the flagship station 2 hours before the game and talk hockey. And what we need is we need more fans tweeting and calling in on the hockey game. The Rangers are in town. We don't have to pretend to be New York, but we got to be Vegas, a hockey town on our own. 876-1340, if you're going to the game tonight, your prediction, any concerns you have, we'll get into that coming up next year. Again, these are the games that I've been telling you, win these, knock these down. Instead of having 6 in a row, win 9 in a row. Keep going. Beat the teams you're supposed to beat. So then if you lose to a really elite team, it'll hurt, but you'll be stockpiling all those wins, a lot like the NFL. Speaking of the NFL, when we come back, I'll give you the moving lines on what happens this weekend in the divisional playoffs. To me, it's about pressure. Rivers took a massive step, winning a game on the road. Can Rivers continue to win on the road against better opponents? And wow, here come the Patriots again. I'll give you the Patriot formula again. Here it goes, a week off and a home game. Say it with me, a week off and then a home game in the playoffs.
We're going to have to be able to have a great complimentary game. There's no one phase of our team that's going to be able to carry us. It's going to take, you know, every player, every coach on the roster to pull this one out.
Tommy Brady, greatest quarterback of all time. I don't like saying that, but it's the truth. I'm a Joe Montana guy. No Joe. Hung out with Joe in the past, but I haven't seen Joe recently to have to sit down and that topic to come up, but Tom Brady keeps going back to the playoffs, keeps winning, and the Patriot formula is back in play. What is the formula? August, they know they're going to get a bye week and a home playoff game. That's it, and they have it again. So they've rested up. They get a Charger team that had to fly from Baltimore back to Los Angeles, back to New England, and do it again and have to play. And the weather's not an issue. Really important point here. The weather is not a big issue so far on the forecast going forward from what I can tell. And we'll get more of that closer to the game. And Rivers has played great in weather and cold and wind recently. So it's not a big deal for him. And Brady's better than Rivers. But Rivers this year, his stats and his ability to come from behind and win have been very impressive. Line opened up, New England -4.5. It's down to 4. A lot of fans playing the Chargers in a tease. A lot of fans believe that the Chargers are going to win this game outright. Why wouldn't you? If you're buying into the Charger road this year, the 7-1 on the road, what they did in their last road game, why wouldn't you go all in? Seriously, Bobby, you're laughing, but Charger fans, if you're a Charger fan, why wouldn't you go all in? I mean, you're a Patriot homer. You have 5 Super Bowls recently. Just put yourself, as a Charger fan, and you're saying to yourself, hey, man, we're beating everybody. We beat everybody on the road. We got a better roster. Let's count. We have more Pro Bowlers than they do. Let's go win the game.
Yeah, good luck to you. I wish you all the luck. Chargers, God love you. I wish you all the luck in the world. It ain't going to happen, but good luck to you.
Yeah, because you're convinced because you are used to winning these games. You don't know what it's like rarely to be in a situation and lose this.
It's not even a matter of that. You know what we need? We have to have the Chiefs and the Patriots. If the Chiefs are going to be the next team to take that mantle,
right,
they've got to beat the Patriots.
I would agree on that. That makes sense to me, that if you look at the natural progression of who's going to be the next dominant team, could it be Patrick Mahomes? That's why it's so important for John Gruden to get back into the lab with Mike Mayock and go, Kansas City, Kansas City. How do we beat Kansas City? That's what I told you early on when Mac got traded. I told you Gruden looked at the team and said, no, this won't work. With or without Mac, I need to beat the Chiefs. I need to start from scratch again. Well, what happens if Kansas City loses to Indianapolis? Line opened up KC minus 4.5. It's now down to 5.5. Money coming in on Kansas City. Why would people think that the Colts' run is going to come to an end? They've won their last 10 out of 11. They have a better offensive line than Kansas City. They have an elite quarterback in Andrew Luck, even though he's going up against the MVP, in Patrick Mahomes. They have weapons, and they have the best tackling linebacker in the league. The only shot that Indy has against Kansas City is they got to run it. They got to run the football in this game to keep Mahomes on the sidelines. Mahomes has got to sit on the bench, and Andrew Luck's got to go on these 8, 9, 10 play drives and eat up 5 or 6 minutes. Then it makes, I think, Mahomes a little bit nervous. A Rams 7-point favorite against Dallas. Woo! You know what I can't wait to see? I want to see the aerial shot of how many Cowboy fans get in that place. Because this is a road trip for, if I'm a Cowboy fan, I'm not looking to road trip to Atlanta in the Super Bowl because I don't think I'm going to get there, but this is a cool road trip. Get a Southwest Airlines quick ticket to L.A., get to that stadium and get in there. Plus, there's a massive influx of Cowboy fans that live in Southern California from the border in Tijuana all the way up through Northern California by car. So I expect them to come in there. Rams are the better team. They've been literally head and shoulders better than Dallas, but Dallas has good defense and good momentum coming into that game. And then finally, a game that people are confused about, New Orleans, Philadelphia. New Orleans crushed Philadelphia early in the year, but Philadelphia seems to be a team playing with house money. Line opened up, New Orleans minus 8. Jay Cornegay still has it at 8 at the Westgate, minus 8.5 at the win in Mirage. A lot of friends of mine who are looking at this game are all over the over. Indoors, no weather, total is 50.5. Now, I think that Drew Brees in this game could put up 35, 34 on his own. Can Dallas keep up and play a shootout? Dallas doesn't want to do that. Dallas wants to shorten the game and run it with Zeke Elliott. They need Zeke Elliott to run for 150 yards the way he ran the ball last week. If they do that, Brees is on the bench. It's kind of the same philosophy that we're going to see here with the Colts as they go into Kansas City. Again, if you're joining us late, the coaching hirings today in the NFL, pretty busy day. Cliff Kingsbury goes to Arizona. That came out of nowhere. As he agreed to terms to be the offensive coordinator from USC, he reneges on that deal. And I think it's fair to renege on that deal. Life is short. When you get an opportunity to be a head coach in the NFL, and he did get that opportunity, he sniffed around and got it. Why would anybody question him leaving USC as an offensive coordinator? You nuts? This guy got an NFL job, and there are clowns and people saying, hey, this is a bad move. He's not loyal. Loyal. He signed a 4-year, multi-million-dollar deal to be a head coach of the NFL. Bruce Arians will be the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Todd Bowles, former head coach of the Jets, will join him. That's a pretty good staff. Now you got Bowles as a coordinator. Arians calling the plays with Jameis Winston. This is the last shot for Jameis Winston. If it doesn't work out here, there's no way, no chance. And they'll run him out of town pretty quickly. And the Broncos, it comes down to Fangio and Munchak. Obviously, Fangio, the defensive coordinator of the Bears, is the lead candidate in that position, if he's able to get that. And as we've talked about, all the NFC jobs are taken. Matt LaFleur gets the Green Bay job. Now we're looking at the AFC going forward and what the Jets are going to do and what Cincinnati's going to do. And, of course, the Jets are the Jets, and Cincinnati, they both screwed up. They both screwed up. They're sitting there waiting. It's a game of musical chairs. Bunch of kindergartners playing musical chairs, and the Jets have stopped, and there's no chair. And they're looking around wondering what they're going to do. Thanks to Bobby who put the show together. Joe Lisi, I give him a follow at Go for the Two. Our good friend Gary Lawless, who's at the Fortress tonight. If you're heading down to the game, Rangers are in town. Vegas Golden Knights looking to win 7 in a row right here on your flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm heading to PT's. Happy hour, 5 to 7. Meet me at PT's.